Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection. And my name is Empress Chi, and as usual, it's always a pleasure to be here with you. Before we begin our program, of course, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator, and we are certainly always cognizant of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Tonight's program is going to be pretty interesting, as many of our programs are. We're going to be bringing on one of our sisters, none other than Sister Pam Africa. Let's see. We're going to also give you a review on a play that we just recently saw a little while ago. I'm so proud of my sister and brother Rob Dickerson and Sister Wanda Dickerson just did an outstanding job with presenting their new play, Wake Up Everybody. Oh, wow, it was dynamite, and we're going to bring it to Philly. It was shown in Camden tonight, so what can I say? I'm going to give you a little review on that. And we're going to also talk tonight about something that's coming up, known as the International Human Rights, African Human Rights Convention. Okay, so we got a lot we're going to talk about tonight. And, last week, for those who did not tune in, well, in the very near future, we are going to resume our dialogue about homosexuality. We kind of got into it a little bit last week. We're going to continue it, not tonight, but very soon. We're going to give people time to know that we are going to talk about that topic. And as such, we're going to, we're going to really kick it out there. I was supposed to be actually right now at the Oyotunji Village for the grassroots Pan-African grassroots conference that they're holding, and I didn't realize until just a week or so ago, actually, that I had another obligation, another commitment to speak at a program, which I did earlier today. So I'm still trying to make it out to the Oyotunji Village. We may still end up doing that, but I'm not there presently. But we certainly will get a report from them, and certainly this is just the first of many. So either way it goes, we're going to be in tune and in touch with them. Let's see. One other thing that we wanted to talk about before we recap something from last week. Of course, this is the final day of Black Music Month. And last week, we kind of played something for you, which to me is timeless. We played something from, I believe it was, The Temptations. And in doing so, we kind of wanted to connect the dots. That's what we said we would do. We would kind of connect the dots. And what we mean by that is that oftentimes, something just happened. I'm sorry. Okay, I got it. Oftentimes what happens is when we hear hip-hop, a lot of times we don't connect original hip-hop with things that goes on today. Well, truly, there are some aspects of hip-hop that really are connected to not only today, but to the history of many things. I was trying to find the piece that I was looking for. Oh, I got it right now. Okay, here we are. So again, last week, we were able to play Message to the Black Man, which, of course, is a, like I said, is timeless when it comes to message music, when it comes to powerful lyrics, when it comes to the beat. Well, again, connecting the dots, as I was saying earlier, about how some hip-hop really does have connection to music from, back in the day, as some call it, but music and information that was put into lyrics, into rhythms, into the beats, that really put out something for our hearts and our minds. So I wasn't able last week to give you that full kind of impact that I wanted to give to you because, again, we kind of got into some other things. But what I want to do tonight is kind of do that. And let's see if I can locate the one that I'm attempting to find for you. Still having a little problem with my board here. And, oh, by the way, family, if we should for some reason get disconnected because we are having a little bit of problems with our boards. So, you know, sometimes that does happen, but hopefully we'll have it straightened out very shortly. But what I was saying is that we wanted to give you the message to the black man from the Temptations, right, and connect that to something that is kind of, it didn't come out like this year or last year, but it's pretty recent, and we want to share that with you. But again, we just want to recap for 1 minute, and then we're going to go to our live line and talk with our sister Pam Africa, who's going to tell us about an upcoming program that's coming up this week. Of course, every July 3rd, there's always a function, an activity, or something focusing on the sentencing of Mumia. So we're going to tell you about that and about where she is presently, which is to celebrate the Earth Day of one of our sister freedom fighters, Sister Alua Ferguson, and we're going to tell you about that. And also, I think coming on with us tonight is the wife of, I'm not sure if it's Sundiata Akoli or if it is Marshall Eddie Conway, but it's one of those sisters will be joining us as well. In the meantime, I'm going to play a little bit again for you, Message from the Black Man, and then I'm going to play for you something that has been produced recently, and I want you to hear how, in fact, there is a connection. Okay, so again, a little bit from Message to the Black Man, the original one, from the Temptations. Kind of bring you to a new version, but I'm going to bring you to something that's recent, and that is by Nas, okay? So we're going to go to that, and let's see, hopefully I can pull it up for you. Having a little bit of problems again with our boards, but we should write in a minute. Okay, let's see what we got here. And again, I want you to kind of hear the connection, okay? Hopefully we can pull this up. Okay, nope, not yet. All right, we're having a little bit of problem, but nevertheless, oh, you know what? Sorry, my apologies. It was not Naz. This was probably Raz, okay? But there is one that Naz did too. So I'm going to see if I can find that for you as well. But in the meantime, I'm going to play the one that I did find by Raz, okay? No, I don't want to do that. Let me back up for a moment. I'm going to go back to my original plan. Let's see. We're going to try again with Naz. And that's the one that I really wanted to find for you. because there's a particular reason, and I think you're going to hear that in a minute. So, okay, we got it. All right, again, forgive us. We have a little problem with our board, but we got it now. All right, this is Naz. Check this out. Okay, nope, not yet. Hold up, family. All right, please bear with us. We are, as I said, experiencing a little bit of technical difficulty here. But remember, the first one we heard was Message to the Black Man, Temptations. Okay, this one is recent, and again, it is with Naz. Okay, so, again, one of the reasons why we wanted to kind of play that is because sometimes we hear people talk about hip-hop and we talk about all the negativity that's in hip-hop, and indeed there is. I'll be the first to say it. Some of these people really need their behinds kicked. But then on the flip side of that is, of course, some very serious kinds of things that are conveyed through the music, through hip-hop. This for me was one. I know people don't, you know, like using the so-called N-word or whatever, but, you know, get over it. And I say that, you know, with much love and much respect, because I truly understand and overstand what that word has meant. But at the same time, you know, there's some things going on today that really need to go on. And unless you have another solution, unless you have another way of conveying things and getting things done, then we need to let some of this happen, because some things are, in fact, happening. Some of our youth, for lack of a better terminology, and I will kind of give you an idea why I'm saying that, because I kind of get tired of hearing these cliche words, youth and this. You know, we just create stuff, but I'll get back to that later. The bottom line is there are things that are, in fact, being taught through the music, and we really not need to demonize everybody. That's not intelligent, and as far as I'm concerned, that's not the African thing to do. We are astute enough to say, this is that, and so forth and so on, not lump everything into the same thing. So, with that said, for those artists who are, in fact, doing some very productive, positive things, I salute you. for this month of Black music. For those of for those who you know want to still continue to degrade, want to still continue to rape, want to still continue to utilize our creativity and our art and so forth in you know the most negative, the most degrading kinds of ways. Well, all I can say is we got something coming for you in the very near future too. Okay, so that takes care of that particular segment of the program, our salute to Black Music Month. Now, we're getting ready to go to our live line. And, you know, when we bring this sister on, it's indeed live, all the way live. It's no holds barred, as it should be, because we are about speaking truth to power. This is how things are going to change. And, you know, we know that some folks are afraid of change, obviously, but that's okay. That's why we're here, to help you make this transition. And so we're going to get ready to go to our live line. And as I indicated earlier, we're going to talk to my sister, Sister Pan Africa. Of course, she is away right now and going to give us some insight into the activity that she was a part of today. And we're going to talk also about the upcoming event that's going to take place here in Philly. As we said, every year around or on July 3rd, there's always something happening here in Philly other than what these other people be doing with their 4th of July thing. We remember July 3rd as being a day that they, you know, try to implement some more of their trickery, and did, actually. And so, again, I'm going to go to our live line and let my sister tell you about it. We're going to talk about several things. Oh, and I want to remind you, we're going to also give you some information tonight about the upcoming International African Diaspora Human Rights Convention. And I'm saying this to tie in the fact that one of the, of course, areas that we're going to focus on at our Human Rights Convention, which is going to be in Africa, is, of course, the issue of our political prisoners. To take that further into international waters, into international arenas, is a must. We must continue to speak out for the injustices that have occurred with our political prisoners as a result, particularly of COINTELPRO. We know it hasn't gone away. We also know we must make certain that the world knows what has happened. And many of our brothers and sisters have done tremendous work to do that, but we now got to do even more. So with that said, let's go to our live line. And joining us is, as I indicated, Sister Pam Africa, who is one of the ministers of consultation for the MOVE organization and, of course, the chairwoman for the International Concern, Family and Friends of Mumia Abu-Jamal. Hey, Pam, you there?
Hey, now I'm on the MOVE. I've been listening
on
for a MOVE, minute.
All
too.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know I'm down here in North Carolina, right?
Okay, okay. I wasn't sure if it was Virginia or North Carolina. Okay. Yeah.
Right. You know, Brother Herman Ferguson and his wife. And I'm down here because it's her birthday, it's her 80th birthday. And, you know, he was once a political prisoner and also, you know, in exile and all from the crimes of the United States government. And all, they was killing Panthers and, you know, after the assassination of Malcolm X and all, you know, they tried to frame Brother Herman Ferguson and on some trumped up, you know, crap. And he had to flee the country because at that particular point they was killing a lot of people. And, you know, but they're back and, you know, they've been doing work around. He has an organization called the Malcolm X Grassroots organization and all that was started after the death of Malcolm and all because he vowed that, you know, he will never allow people to forget Malcolm and, you know, what Malcolm attempted to do. And, you know, it's doing through his death and, you know, for the liberation of Black people. So we're down here, Sister Decree and our brother Odinga's wife, who is also a political prisoner, and Sister Paulette from the Jericho Movement, and Brother Razakhan Shaheed, you know, from the Philadelphia Edison Project, and we came down, you know, to represent and, you know, and to show our appreciation for these two strong senior warriors. And, you know, while I was down here, Sister Paulette was, you know, was telling me about the different people that she had visited and political prisoners. And, you know, people really, really need to get involved in the work for political prisoners. And, you know, I do the work around my family, which is the Movement I'm with, me at Bujamal, and other political prisoners. And before we go any further, I want to invite people to the event on July 3rd here in Philadelphia. On behalf of Mamiya and, you know, the movement and, you know, to overthrow this government and all the wrongs in this government. On July 3rd, you know, it marks the 30th year since, you know, Mamiya was sentenced to death. 30 years ago, Judge Sable, after a railroad trial in Mamiya's case, and told the jury that the 4th of July weekend was coming up. And if they want to be sequestered over the entire 4th of July weekend, and then they don't come up with a verdict. But if they come up with a verdict and or, you know, that they'll be able to go home for the 4th of July. So on July 2nd, they came up in 1982 with the verdict of guilty. On July 3rd, they came up with the verdict of the a death sentence, and on July 4th they went home and party. We have never allowed this government and all to forget and all, you know, and remind those and to inform those, you know, that Mumia was sentenced to death without having a, you know, any kind of a trial and all, because what went on and all was not a trial. It was a clear, you know, railroad. And evidence of innocence was thrown out, and if the jury was allowed to hear the information about what actually went on there, Mumia would have walked, and a whole lot of other people would have been locked up. And but on July 3rd of that year, and they started a movement to actually kill Mumia. And within those 30 years, they didn't have the FBI, the CIA, every facet of the news media and all that major news media to go up against, you know, to try to frame Mumia so that people could think that Mumia was guilty of murder. And through the strategy of John Africa, which was a very strong strategy that was given to us, we was able to mobilize worldwide and bring people, bring soldiers together and all who wanted to fight this system and all, you know, and expose the wrong in the anti-death penalty movement, to expose, you know, a lot of things that was going on. And everybody knows, and a lot of people did not ever believe that Mumia would be free. 30 years on Wednesday, and, you know, we're going to celebrate and all the fact that Mumia, you know, is no longer on death row. But to renew in people the strength, the fight, and all that must happen in order to bring Mumia, you know, not, you know, off of the prison grounds, which Mumia is in more danger right now than he was when he was sitting on death row and they was, you know, plotting to kill him then. On December the 9th of last year, or December the 8th, and all, Police officer Faulkner's wife, and along with the DA, had a press conference because she was really pissed because she wanted Mumia's death, knowing full well that Mumia was innocent. And she stood with Seth Williams, and she stated very clearly that, you know, she was really upset about the fact that, you know, we was able to pull Mumia off of death row. And, you know, that there was a compromise, you know, that happened amongst them because she wanted them killed, the FOP wanted them killed, but the power of the people, when it united and came together in the unbreakable force, you know, forced them to back up off of that. And they put him in life in prison without the possibility of parole. And her position then became, you know, that she was very dissatisfied with that, And, you know, her wishes was, you know, for Mamiya to be killed and to be shot up with a lethal injection. And she said, but she will get her due once Mumia go into general population. What mm-hmm. she was saying was, once he go in there, that, you know, they want to have somebody knock him off. And, you mm-hmm. know, and we were very watchful of him. And, you know, and, you know, understanding that, you know, he can't trust anyone. We haven't forgot what happened to Fred Hampton. And we never forget what happened to that black political prisoner, or Jeff Rowe, the most well-known next to Mumia political prisoner. And that brother was called Jesus Christ, and who this government, you know, killed. And, you know, and how, you know, a person right up under him, and, you know, did the deed that allowed these people, you know, to kill them. So I'm saying, you know, we're forever watchful. And but at the same time, and we must, you know, let people know of the victories. And you know, this was so much of a victory. And the anti-death penalty movement has not yet to contact us and say, you know, well, y'all really did something, you know, really good, and it's a blow to this government, and that we were able to save the life of Mumia, because they wanted Mumia killed, and they wrote a letter, and you know, not all of them, but the majority of them, and
right.
you know, said that it was cool to that there was against the death penalty for everybody except Mumia, and that was because the anti-death penalty movement was, you know, overthrown, and but. You know, Shaka Sankofa, Zion Israel, Troy Davis, Tookie Williams, all these brothers was executed with the full force of these people here. And, you know, I'll go as far as saying, you know, they're very responsible for them, and because they kept trying to pull people away from the movement in which we was pushing, one that you cannot compromise. And Mumia fired 1, 2, 3, 4 sets of lawyers, you know, because they wasn't doing what was right. You had people take a position and saying, you know, you can't do that. You know, if you fire, you know, because people are scared to fire these lawyers, you know, when they mess up. And, you know, because especially if you got a movement behind you, they want to act as if you fire this lawyer and, you know, you're going to lose support. And yes, indeed. And Mumia lost some support. And from some people, and but it was up to us to make people understand why Mumia had to fire Tony Jackson, why Mumia had to fire Leonard Wineglass, why Mumia had to fire, you know, that whole legal team, why he had to get rid of the next set of lawyers, why he had to get rid of the next set of lawyers. And because they have a fear of this government, these people are pawns, and these are lawyers work for this government. And, you know, I'll never forget Anthony Jackson being told by Judge Sable, and, you know, that, you know, he is to represent the court, if you know, and that's what he did. He represented the court. He didn't represent Mumia, and because his pledge is to the court. But, you know, we got a celebration, and, you know, this happened on July 3rd. It's going to be at 5th and Market. From 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock, the brothers from the Welfare Poets and our brothers of the Series X out of Pittsburgh and a whole lot of other people are coming here. And we got a message to these people through the music, a message
right.
of resistance.
That's right.
And we also have, you know, some speakers that is going to be speaking about what it is that their organizations is doing, dealing with mass incarceration, dealing with, you know, issues of health. And, you know, we want to have tables set up. Anybody want to set up a table, please get in contact with us. My number is 215-476-8. No. The government took that number. 267. That's another story. Sister Fanae, if you call that number, they'll tell you that number is not in service. And we paid the bill. They took that number. They just took it. And our number is 267-760-7344. strongly urging people, you know, to come out to be a part of, you know, joining in, you know, of the work. We have not stepped back, not one bit. And on December the 9th, we had a huge event at Constitutional Center. On April 24th, we had another event for Mumia, and which was on a Tuesday. And it was his birthday, and we wanted to show this government that, you know, the movement is still not accepting the fact that Mumia is in jail and the movement is getting bigger. You ain't going to hear it in the Daily News. You ain't going to read it in the Inquirer. You ain't going to read it in none of those newspapers. But understand, the movement is getting bigger for Mumia and political prisoners. We just need people to come and join in where they fit in, and for the sake of other people, and all, you know, who don't have that kind of support. On September the 14th, and at Riverside Church up in Harlem, I think it seats 2,800 people, and we're going to have a evening dealing with mass incarceration, calling for the closing of Attica, also calling for the closing of restrictive housing units behind investigations that had happened. And we're using this as an example of what's happening with other prisons around the United States. And now who we have on this program is Michelle Alexander, the author of the book The New Jim Crow, Angela Davis, who's the author of many, many, many books, and Cornel West, and you know, most people know Professor Cornel West, always up there on the front line. And Mark Lamont Hill, and who wrote a book with Mumia, The Classroom in the Cell, and is also on CNN holding his black own, and because this brother, he does battle with these people. And another brother, Jazz Hayden, and from the prison ministry, myself and Sister Asha Bendeli, and Sister Safia Jill and Elijah, and who heads a large prison organization, who wrote the papers up calling for the closing of Attica, which she presented last year at the Attica Rebellion anniversary. And when she presented those papers, and it's our position, and Mumia, and will be a part of this program as well. And it has been our position that, you know, in order to free Mumia, other political prisoners, my family, and we must, you know, actually, and bring to people who have not heard about these issues. And, you know, and the reason why we have Michelle Alexander and Angela Davis, Cornel West, and Mark Lamont Hill, you know, because they draw people. We cannot always sit and preach to the choir, you know, because a lot of events that we go to, is people that already know, you know, and you're not inspired, a lot of them, to actually do more work. And also this program here is one that will bring a whole lot of people out that don't usually come out. And Mark Lamont Hill, who's on CNN, and who writes for several newspapers, and he's a professor. A lot of his people know a lot about him, but then there's a whole lot of his people that don't know anything about political prisoners, that listen to him on the radio, that listen to him on the TV, that don't know anything about what it is that we're going to be presenting. So, you know, we have all these people coming, the people that Angela Davis is involved with, you know, who do know something about prisons, and then you have people just coming because Angela's there, because Michelle Alexander's there, because Cornel West is there. We're taking that opportunity to bring these young, fresh minds into a movement, and all that will mean, and all the downfall of this government, and all you know, and what we're doing, we're having other groups and organizations. That program will start from 7 to 10:30, and but before then, 2 hours before the program come on, there will be organizations like the Jericho Organization, like the New York State Prison Organization, and we're trying to find other organizations and all that's dealing with women, Sister Filet, and, Mama Filet, dealing with, women and abuse on women, and, also to, let people know about the upcoming event that's happening in Africa, which you will explain to people. I know you've been explaining to people, but getting people on board and, to tie us all into, like one fight. So, these are some of the things that we've been doing, but the latest one, again, we're asking people to come out on July 3rd, that's Tuesday, and Tuesdays have always been a good day for us, to educate people, because this is Freedom Week, the day before the 4th, and there's a whole lot of new people that are coming into that city, and, who don't know anything about the problems that we're having, and the fact that, they're celebrating, I can't remember what 100th year of the U.S. Constitution and all that was signed there in Philadelphia. They're having a big celebration of that. And, it means nothing to us. And just like Frederick Douglass said, what to the slave is your 4th of July? In fact, we're having people portray and different people. Brother Zaid Muhammad, our New York, who's a poet, activist, and a member of the New Black Panther Party out of Newark, New Jersey, and will be portraying Brother Frederick Douglass. And we have a brother that's Kevin that's portraying John Brown. And our sister Omi Raheem will be portraying Harriet Tubman. And sister Teresa Schultz and a whole lot of the rest of us will be representing political prisoners. We'll be in prison arms and prison uniforms and attracting people to where we're at. And we got drummers that will be drumming to bring people in and a show and a spectacular musical that is designed to bring people over so that we can talk with them and let them know what's going on. So we're asking people to come on down and bring your lunch. Bring your lunch. We want to have some watermelon there, and because it's going to be hot, and we want to have some refreshing things, and we'll have a table cut up, with good, fresh, juicy watermelon with seeds. With
I know
seeds,
that's right.
Watermelon, and water for people, and so come on down. Bring a sign, bring a pot, make some noise, and let people let this something know that we have not forgot, we will not forget, and we will not fall into their game of compromise. We have nothing to compromise. Behind the fact that we have compromised, and we got more prisons than we ever had before, and with black folks once lived, and there's people with money, white folks is moving in, black folks are being forced into prison, forced into graves for some doggone place other than, around, because I'm telling you, where we live at, and when you turn around and look, it's almost like, where's the black folks at?
We were up today at 18th and Diamond at the Church of the Advocate, and for those who are listening and you're not familiar with Philly, North Philly, of course, was, black folks. Everybody knew North Philly, and, of course, that particular area, 18th, 19th and Diamond, was always black folks. Well, I was up there today at the program. Brother Kima had a wonderful program, Skin to Skin. And the amount of white people walking through the hood and just, like, it was just so funny. But then when they literally started coming into the Church of the Advocate, it was like, okay, we know this is really over now, for real. But, Pam, I want to also mention this to you. I'm coming on the 3rd, but I'm coming to represent Marissa Alexander.
Now.
Okay.
Do that.
Marissa Alexander is the sister in Florida who has been given 20 years, maybe 26, but definitely 20, for shooting her gun up in the air after her husband was beaten up on her. She shot her gun up in the air to scare him off. They gave her 20 years.
That's right, and she also had those protective, warrants to keep
them away. Protective order, sure.
As well
all
as
of that.
I think it was four
all
or five
of that.
Other
yeah. Right, right. So I will be there on the 3rd representing Marissa Alexander.
Oh, yes, a lot of us sisters will be standing with you, Sister Valet, representing Sister Melissa, Alexander.
Right.
And, you know, if
we have literature, we have information, and we'll be distributing that information out.
Yes, so people come on down. You have petitions about it, right, too, right?
Yes, yes. Now, Pam, now we know about what's going on during the day. What about, isn't there something going on at the Rotunda?
On July 1st.
Okay.
And let me tell you also, our program will be opened up by a very colorful Aztec indigenous people's, dance and all in full color. And when they get finished, they'll let people know what to the slave do your 4th of July look like to them. And it will close with the African dance and drum ensemble. But
all right.
Also on July 1st, at the Rotunda, will be Brother Jasiris X, the Welfare Poets, a host
right.
of other, revolutionary brothers and sisters, that will be putting out information through song, through the arts, and we're urging people to come out to that. That's July 1st at the Rotunda, starting at 6 o'clock. And also, if you want to bring tables and get there a little bit early, talk with the brothers and stuff, because this event is going to be one that you're not going to want to miss.
All right. And let's get about that location. If you're in the Philadelphia area, even if you're in the New Jersey area, you can still come on through. Even some folks coming in from New York, the Rotunda is located at 40th and Market Street. Okay, 40th and Market Street. And what time is it to start again, Pam?
It starts at 6. And they're raising funds, to keep the work going, because they do
right.
work around the community. They are involved with anti-death penalty. They are involved in stopping the violence not only the black-on-black, violence, but those who cause the problem that caused people to go up against and, be like piranhas on their own people. So please come out to that one on July 1st and at the Rotunda at 40th and Walnut Street, right next to the, I believe it's the Rave movie now. And on July 3rd, right at 5th and Market. And I'll bring a banner, Don't forget, to keep raising the name of the young brother's passing that was shot down in Florida.
Trayvon.
Right. Bring signs if you have signs, make signs about Sister Marissa, and we're going to have signs on Move 9, because we got another event coming up there, signs on Mumia, people bringing signs on different political prisoners, and we're saying, act your rage. Yeah.
Now,
represent.
Kim, also, are you going to be involved with the Occupy? There's a big thing going on with the Occupy thing. Are you going to be doing anything with that?
Is that on the 3rd or the 4th?
They got it. Actually, I think it started today, and it runs
started
through the 4th.
Yeah. Right, straight on through. I'll be back in town on the 2nd. I will be involved in the work on the 2nd, the 3rd, and the 4th.
Okay.
And any way that we can strike a blow at this government, and it's a platform to put out information about saving our people, and you can bring on the numbers, I'll be there, because I am a collector. We've been taught to be a collector, collecting people who will, who have the necessary skills, because a lot of these young folks have some skills and are dealing with computers that, I don't know anything about. But I see them, and I be like, wow, how'd you do that? We're collecting, people who have all kinds of skills that we don't have, looking to bring them into the movement, along with us, to do this work.
Well, sister, speaking of wow, I'm still in a wow mood, and I'm not going to go into real detail, but I received a message earlier today from my sister, and I had to just go wow.
Oh, yeah. And wow.
Now, what I want to do also is, you know, since this is a time period that, you know, some folk be looking at as Freedom Week or whatever they want to call it, you know, this, of course, for us is just another day and a time that we always strive for the freedom and the liberation of all of our people, and particularly right about now, we have to, as we discussed earlier, put some greater emphasis on political prisoners. Now, you mentioned earlier one of our political prisoners. Tell us a little bit more about the particular situation of the case. Oh, gosh, the brother's name just escaped me. We were talking about one of the brothers who just I think, went before review, and I think it was turned down.
Miranda Vowles? I'm pronouncing it wrong. No, but anyway, this is a brother who was free, maxed out of prison 8 years ago.
Right.
8 years ago. And, you know, he's still being held. And, you know, according to law, if a judge sentences you to a certain amount of time and you serve that time, you're supposed to be released. Just
that's
like a
right.
judge sentenced my family to 30 to 100 years, they never thought my family would live through the 30 years of terrorism that happened to them on the inside of the prison, but they lived through it and they're stronger. And but they're supposed to be on the streets now. But the way this government is doing things, people who are due to be released from jail, they're just holding them. And, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, this is only happening to MOVE. It's only happening to, political prisoners, you know, captives of war, that stood up against this government. But it's not. It's happening to a lot of people because this government is about enslaving. And we better start looking at the whole picture here and start joining in together because one thing they're doing, they close all these jobs down, these people are gunning for our children. And they say, I'll make sure mine go to college and make sure mine do this and do that. The prison is full of them. The prison
right.
is full of people who went to college and thought that, they'll have, a better way. They have been framed, just like Mamiya was, and some of them got tricked into, because they didn't have the money to pay for those college, loans that they had. Their mom's house was up for sale, and they started doing, crooked things like this government did in order to take this country, but not as far as, rape and robbing, killing, murdering, and throwing, disease blankets on, people. But some of them went into corporate crime, tried to do some stuff and, move some money around or try to sell some reef or something to get their to pay these loans to save their mom's house and stuff and
right,
it up in
right.
I'm saying people got to look at this whole jail situation because a lot of people think that like when you cut on the news every night you see where somebody was robbed, beaten, stabbed, killed.
Right.
And
I'm saying,
we got to, deal with that. But the reason why these things are being thrown up in front of us is behind the fact that they want us to scream and holler, lock them
right.
up, put more cops on the street when they're brutalizing and killing, people. But you don't see them saying that when it comes to that store that's on the corner that is known to sell, foods that is poison to our people. They will have people, going to these stores, be poisoned by the filth and stuff that they're selling them, and then turn around and say that, Whole Foods is the store that sells health food. And all stores should be selling health food.
Right.
I don't see anywhere on the 6 o'clock news where they tell you about how many ambulances is going to all these hospitals, bringing people in there because they can't breathe the air. They can't, they dying because they drank the water. They dying because they ate the food. They dying because they inhaled and exhaled. I'm saying, the number is unbelievable of the people who are dying from doing these things. And some people's like, Well, you know, they're dying from breathing the air. Look at the people that's walking around with these machines, you know, the air machines strapped to their bodies.
Yeah.
This is, you know, this is all recent stuff within the last, you know, 15, 20 years. Things ain't getting better for us. It's getting worse for us. Instead of us dealing with the whole problem of crime, these people will teach us to go after this. They throw all this stuff up in front of us, and we don't go after the mass murderers. And the people that they call mass murderers, they have nothing compared to the cigarette industry. It has nothing on the people that take, you know, our water that's familiar and clean and put it in a damn plastic bottle and tell us that, you know, this water is good. They have nothing on the person who robbed the seeds out the watermelon and gave you the distortion. Have nothing on the people who eat chicken, who think they eating chicken, eating some clone something that's causing all kind of cancer and things in their bodies and stuff. You know, they teach us not to fight the people that are causing the big problems, but they turn around and put this crime here. And I'm saying, and people got to understand what I'm saying. This crime has got to be dealt with. But how do you bypass, you know, and you call for the murder, the lockup of people who are doing these crimes and all these mass murderers. And, you know, don't go to jail. Don't, you know, be executed for the crimes that they committed. And, you know what I'm saying, when a person deliberately poisoned your water, deliberately poisoned your air that you, your mother, your son, your daughter, your child got to drink, and I'm saying, you know, and they just keep you busy looking at 3, 6, 10 tomorrow. No, they got to make laws to get away with, you know, to get these people off the street. And all while the whole time, you know, going to the Newport Jazz Festival. And all, you know, these people are responsible for mass murder of our children. These people are responsible for the mass murders of our mothers, our sisters, and our brothers. And all, but people refuse to stand up and fight them, refuse to go after the daggone government about them. They ain't even went after the government. They go after the drug dealer on the corner. But what about that damn drug dealer that you done put in them schools called the nurse that's giving our kids Ritalin, Prozac, and all those other things and turning our children into virtual drug addicts for the rest of their life? You know, what about that? I'm saying, you know, we got some checking in to do. So I'm saying, what to the slaves is your fucking 4th of July? Excuse me, Sister Palladium. <Palladium. laughs>
So you know how I know how you get when you get started. So we're not shocked or anything. But listen, this is what I need to bring to your attention, because I know you didn't hear about it because you didn't mention it, and it's this. You just mentioned how a lot is going on. Well, and I believe it's 20 states that received something like $3 million for more police. And the city of Philadelphia is one of them. Okay, so just in case people don't know what's getting ready to go down, two things is happening. For example, schools are closing, and I don't mean just for the summer. Schools,
that's right.
Public schools are closing all over the country. What do you think that means? Now, here's the next thing we just learned. We got a report a couple of days ago that thousands of people are going to be cut off of the welfare thing starting next week. Thousands. And many of them have not or have received no notification, will receive no notification. When they go to get their thing or whatever it is, it will not be there, period.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that mean again when we talk about incarceration?
That's right.
Needless
That's
to say,
right.
people and, are going to do what they need to do to survive.
Exactly. And rightfully so.
Yes.
And rightfully so.
But we have to see how this is designed. This is specifically designed in a certain kind of way. You see?
Right. And then you have people, you know, howling and screaming and all, you know, at the person who is, you know, still, you know, food to feed their children and, you know, doing what's necessary to stop the, you know, homeless people and, you know, is a crime. You know, the mere fact that, you know, during the John Street administration, they came up with the thing of, you know, not feeding the homeless and it's being really pushed in this Nutter administration. And I'm saying, you know, look at these churches. You know, can you see that happening back in the day when King was here, back in the day when Reverend Abernathy was here, Reverend Lauren was on those front lines, and Reverend Paul Washington.
That's right.
What is with these ministers of today? And, you know, what is with these mothers? And because, you know, I mean, damn, ain't nobody
Yeah, you know that's right. You know what? I've been saying this for the... That's right.
I'm going to feed them. And, you know, and we just have to deal with it. You know, or you can't give them money. And, you know, you're taking money from them. And, and people that realize the person that you walked over and stepped over today and didn't share what you had with these people, it's you tomorrow. And, because they're definitely taking that money from welfare. Every time you turn around, they're taking jobs away. People, you know, we're going to pull together. We better pull together.
I just want to remind everyone that we do have the chat room open now if you care to place your comments or questions there. And also, if you have a question or a comment you want to bring to Sister Pam's attention or you just want to share something with us, please push one now because we're going to get ready to open up the lines for you. We'd like to have you join us for this dialogue, especially any concepts you might have or solutions or strategies and how you feel we need to proceed in addressing some of these issues that we're talking about. Because, again, we're not just talking about issues just to talk about them. This is a people's thing that we're talking about, our people. These are our problems, our issues, and we're the only ones that can really resolve and solve them. So if you're doing some work already, it's working, or you are proposing that some work should be done, or that some work that you are going to be involved in doing, please let us know. Push one now, and we'll get you on our open mic. Okay, but that's it. Now, going back to Mumia, of course. Mumia is, of course, continuing his commentary. We've been playing them. We played one last week, Pam, as a matter of fact. The last time that you went to visit with Mumia, what was that like? Tell us a little bit about that. Because remember, you know, we're the only kind of voices that the masses of our people are hearing. So they don't hear about or know about, you know, your visits or how Mumia is doing when you saw him or different things he may have said. So it's important that we share that kind of information.
Right. You know, Mumia is adjusting to being into general population now. I'll never forget, you know, when Mumia first, you know, went into population and being in a visit with him and him looking at things that he had never, you know, seen before, like the new cameras that they take pictures with, and he had never seen one of them, and the vending machines and all, which, you know, with upon a visit, you know, now before years ago when he was able to be in general population, you can get a candy bar from out here, you can get some soda or some coffee or a bag of potato chips. But now in these machines, they have hoagies, they have pizza, you know, they have, you know, all kinds of, you know, different food. They got popcorns, you know, and stuff like that that, you know, you can pop yourself. I'm not a person who likes microwave popcorn, and but, you know, they have, you know, all these different kind of things. And the fact that, you know, here, you know, one of the stories that Mumia tell me that, you know, really you know, cracked me up, and then it made me sad at the same time. And was that when he was let out to go to, you know, get lunch, and because for almost 30 years, and you know, Mumia's been fed a tray through a hole in the wall on the door, slot where they put the tray at. And you can eat it now, or, you know, you can eat it a little bit later. The guards might come back, and 2 or 3 hours later and pick your tray, you know, and get your tray. And but when Mumia went to the first time going out to the lunchroom, and you know, and being involved in the crowd, because remember Mumia's store, it was him, the different guards that was on different shifts, the guard that walked you to the you know, from one cell and to the visiting room, which, you know, was a small closet, you know, and you was handcuffed, you know, through that, and into all of a sudden, you know, being in general population, and you see all these people. And don't forget, he also got that thought in his head, which you got to keep there, of what Maureen Faulkner said. And all that, you know, she'll just do when he's going to general population. So you got all these well wishes and things, you know, coming up on you in a massive thing. Then he gets into the lunchroom and he's sitting there and he's looking around because he's just totally, you know, in awe of, you know, all these, you know, different people. And all of a sudden, you know, people have to leave because, you know, you only have a certain amount of time to sit there and eat. He was used to, number one, Ruby said, you realize I had to walk to get my food. He hadn't did that in almost 30 years. You know, to actually, you know, walk to the lunchroom to get his food. And he says, and then he was used to, like, you know, if he didn't feel like eating it now, he would eat it a little bit later. And it was time to go, and he hadn't touched his food because he was talking, you know, with different people. And, you know, and actually see men and women and, you know, and children, and for the first time in 28 years. And, you know, you're going to visit some people, you know, get a chance to get a quick hug, a kiss. And he says to taste his wife's lips, and, you know, in 28 years. And, because I think 2 years, no, 29 years. Because 1 year he was in general population before he was sentenced, to death. But you know, to be able to hold her, and then, you know, at the same time, you know, have to deal with the situation that after all this time, it's a quick hug, stand back, don't touch, and, you know, all these different, you know, things. So, you know, the brother is really, really adjusting, and the prison is adjusting to who they have at this particular point as well, too. From the very beginning, we was treated, you know, some kind of way up there, you know, and at this particular point, And you know, through all the visits, Mumia have, you know, still have international visits from around the world. And you know, lawyers is coming in from everywhere. And prisoners' rights visits, you know, regular visits. And visits with his, you know, with his daughter. And he hasn't had the visit with his son, you know, as of yet. But to be able to, you know, just deal, I'm saying, you know, and the fact that we were able to sit down and eat together. Laugh and all, you know, hit each other, you know. It was really, you know, really good. And then it's sad at the same time because this brother don't have no business being there. And I'm saying, but this is an experience that I've been experienced for some time because I'm dealing with my family and of the Move Nine. You know, my sisters, Merle, who was killed in a prison, Janet, Janine, and Debbie. And you know, that's, you know, still in the prison, Mike, Dale, Chuck, Phil, Eddie, and you know, they're still, you know, locked down in these prisons. So, you know, it's a mixed bag, you know, whenever, you know, we go. But everybody want to hear stories of Mumia and you know, who, you know, after all this time is, you know, being let into general, you know, population. And, you know, it's a learning experience. Mumia's writing another book.
Okay.
At this particular time, when he was in, you know, about, you know, his experience in restrictive housing unit, he thought death row was hell, he said, but when he got into that restrictive housing unit and the horrors, you know, of that, you know, of what goes on in those units, and we have another victory because when they put Mumia in restrictive housing units, they thought that they was going to be able to keep Mumia in there, you know, like Maureen said, that he would languish on, you know, in there for a long time under those conditions. We was able to get Mumia from our restrictive housing unit. I think it took us about 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks to do it when people said that, you know, he would be there and for a very, very, very long time. And, you know, once they put you there, about the rules and stuff, you know, I mean, how they break the rules and just keep you there. But again, when you unite people together and they say hell no in a strong, uncompromising voice, you break those things. You break those things because the truth is, Mumia is off of death row. Because of the uncompromising movement, he is no longer in restrictive housing unit, and we busted that in 6 weeks when these people said, you know, all right, we, you know, all right, y'all won that battle there, he he's not going to be on death row, but all right, we got him in a restrictive housing unit, and we do this the way we want to do it. And, you know, but we broke that, just like we're going to bring him off of, you know, out of that prison. And but
no,
this
that's
is
right.
happening for all people, and, you know. And you know, one of the biggest things that, you know, you know, people got to do, there is no one that should be safe and all when the issue of doing right and all when these people do wrong. There is no such thing, to quote John Africa, as a person having the right to do wrong and all. Mm-hmm. You have people. You know, people say, you know, you can't talk about, you know, them like that, especially, you know, like when you're dealing with black folks and all, you know. You can't, you know, talk about Congressman Chaka Fatah like that, bad-mouthing him. I'm saying, oh, God, he's doing bad things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only describing what they're doing, the work that they're supposed to be doing. When you talk about another, talk about a Seth Williams and the horrors of what they are doing, not only to me, but to the people, but for some black person to get up in my face and tell me and all that, you know, black folks should settle their problems within. You have no business going on the outside. If that was true, then you better explain to me how come 18th and Diamond don't look black no more. How come these prisons are full? You know, how come there's no schools, you know, they're being shut down and all. If people would stand up and expose and, you know, treat these people like the criminals that they are, stop treating them and acting as if they're acceptable and respectable and hip. And all, you know, we can be somewhere. We can be somewhere. But, you know, just like, you know, now, you know, blacks is rallying behind Holder. Tell me what the hell has Holder done for us? Holder, this government. We got more prisons and, you know, all these political prisons, all these issues and all. Troy Davis was an issue that was taken through that administration, and they murdered him. And the situation was so bad that judge, what was that judge that was on TV? Oh, God.
Mathis.
And, you know, sat on TV with his robe. It's up on YouTube, people, you know.
Yep.
If you don't believe me, look up on Google, you know, or whatever it is, YouTube Judge Mathis on Troy Davis, and he talked about the horrors of what happened there. We got a black president. We have a, I mean, when are you going to stand up for us? I am so sick and tired of people turning around and, you know, and saying, support these people who are doing the wrong. Who bombed Africa the way that they did? Who allowed mercenaries to come in there and be over, you know, people of color all throughout Africa, the havoc that is going on there. And the only
and
thing
not,
that we can think of
not
is that
to mention
this is
Libya.
Black. And we had the first
not
black mayor drop a damn bomb on black men, women, and children. And all, you know, and people are confused and talking about how, you know, we got to protect the first black. We got to do what is right. And all, we have got to expose what is wrong because these people are taking black people and all to, you know, actually put into place the things and all that, you know, so that we don't fight. And all, I remember before, when black folks were fighting for housing, and when black folks were fighting the issue of vendors, when black folks were fighting the issues, you know, all these different issues of what was going on in our school, what did they turn around and did? They gave us a black mayor, the black city council, they gave us a black managing director, and all you need look at and see what it is that we don't have anymore. We don't have 18th and Diamond. We don't have South Street. We don't have blocks all in between there. We don't have a lot of black folks walking around the streets like they did, but we do have what they gave us. They gave us housing in, you know, all these rural areas where they take the men, women, and children and lock them up for bull. And that judge and that was locking up and that was working with that private prison. A couple of years ago, there was exposed how he was locking up predominantly black children. He made his mistake
right,
when he locked up
right.
a few of them white ones, and you know, and he got exposed. But he's not the only one. He's not the only one. And you know, our people got to wake up. And you know, and you know, the mothers, when we say it's mama time, it is just that. It is time for mamas to wake up and stop being, you know, slaves to the dream of the black man president, slave to the dream of the black man mayor, slave to, you know, all of that, and be, you know, upheld and, you know, feel righteous and doing what is right in the hell with the car part of it, and because I don't want no black man, you know, brutalizing, terrorizing me, like I damn sure ain't going to have no white one. And I'm damn sure ain't going to sit by and allow my people to be duped when they turn around and send a black one in to do what it is that they no longer can do. Can you imagine Bush bombing Libya? Can you imagine, you know, in North Philadelphia, in Harlem, and, you know, under, you know, any of a white, clear white racist regime up front, black folks would avoid it. Harlem would never look like it did. 18th and Diamond would never look like it did. Temple wouldn't expand it the way it did if it wasn't for us sanctioning that stuff. And why did we sanction it? Because black ministers sanction it. Why do we sanction it? Because black politicians sanction it. And they said, hold on, hold on. And, you know, just give us a chance. Just give us a chance. And that's what this white racist people is telling. You know, all you got to do is tell them, give me a chance. And, you know, and then, you know,
That's like, you know, back in the day, there used to be like a joke kind of with Henry Kissinger. And I forget which comedian was talk about it, but he would say when Kissinger would talk about peace, 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 he was talking about a piece of Angola, a piece of this part of Africa,
yes,
a piece of that part of Africa.
Yes.
That's the piece that they're talking about. But, Pam, hold on 1 minute. We're going to go to one of our callers. And, caller, you have a comment or a question for Sister Pam, or just a comment and a question, period, on any topic that we talked about tonight. You're at 4460. That's the last digit of your number. You're online.
Yeah, peace. I just want to salute my freedom-fighting sisters.
Hey,
sister.
All right.
Wow. Agitate, Pam. I'm so proud you know, that, you know, you sounded the drums, you know, and my whole thing is that I wish those drums could sound on this part of northern New Jersey, because it seems like these folks are just sleep. I don't understand.
You know,
we got this so much stuff going on, and Newark right now is on fire. We got women getting killed back to back. We just had 3 more murders of females. I mean, some bestiality type of stuff going on. And I just want to salute my President General Empress Chi in terms of uplifting, you know, our political prisoner sisters that's behind these walls, you know, being tortured mentally and physically behind these walls, because, you know, being a person that's formerly incarcerated, I've seen it's so many women that's locked up behind walls that's been in there for domestic violence, murdering their boyfriends or, you know, folks who they was in relationship with. It's just something that definitely needs to be brought to the forefront and intensify in terms of speaking and uplifting our sisters that's behind these walls. And including, you know, our sisters from Move 9 that basically, you know, folks don't really hear, you know, much about what happened to our sisters from Move 9, you know. So I just want to salute Pam for continuing to uplift our sisters and also uplift the names of the political prisoners and prisoners of war all over the world. So I salute you.
Oh, you know what? We got to salute a whole lot. You know, it's a lot of us. You know, sisters like yourself, sisters like Sister Belay, and you know, who have, you know, taken on, you know, the frontline battle, and but you don't really, you know, get to hear about them. I was over in Newark. I go every chance I get to see Amina and Amiri Baraka and Sister Frederica Bay, and but I also go over with Brother Larry Ham and their organization, POP. And people organize, people
organizational
organize
progress.
Progress. Right. And, you know, they just celebrate the 1 year of every day standing up on the corners and, you know, dealing with the issue of jobs and, you know, the issue of, you know, these high costs of, you know, our children having to pay these, what is the college monies and all these loans. And
high
stuff,
tuition
and
these loans, right.
1 whole year on July 11th, and you know, they're having a big demonstration dealing with these issues over there. And you know, I want to salute, you know, also the brothers and sisters that's been over there in Newark where you're at, and our brother Zaid, you know, yourself, and you know, people that be on that front line dealing with the police brutality with women, and what's happening with our children, also dealing with that black on black crime, you know, as well. And, you know, I just hope you'd be one of the people that be there on July 11th. I think Larry's going to be in Philadelphia to speak on July 3rd. And this is what we need to do in Philadelphia. And, you know, do a, you know, a whole year day through the snow, the rain, the sleet, the hail. And I'm telling you, they had these signs in our home, you know, about, you know, the issue of what's happening with the jobs and all, you know, and, you know, fair wages and all, you know, for, you know, people that's working.
Well, I want to salute those organizations you're speaking about, but, you know, I'm in the wind, and my whole thing is that I'm just so, like, over the top, over the edge with a lot of, you know, folks who being recognize that's a lot of talk, because we need to basically, you know, deal with the ones that's really doing. You know, some of these organizations, I commend their efforts and all that, but I'm not going to be around too much individuals just screaming and yelling in the street and don't have no type of strategic plan to combat the circumstances that they're going into or they discussing. So, you know, salute to those organizations. You know,
about?
I stand in support with a whole lot of them. But, you know, it's just a lot of people, you know, within these organizations that's not really, they just rallying. I'm not really regulated to that. So my whole thing is that I salute them, you know, and I give them much respect. But it's really time, you know, to take action on a whole lot of the things that we are dealing with, you know, and just folks ain't ready to take it to that next level. So,
salute to them, but to that next level. And, you know, and people are doing it in different ways. You know, you just need to, you know, people fit in, you know, where they can fit in, you know.
I understand. But, I support them, but I fit in with folks who, you know, don't only talk that talk, but also walk that walk, and also have a plan of action.
I'm a person who say what it is that I'm talking about, and did I name somebody that you got a problem with or something?
Like the ones you just spoke about, most of them they just regulate to rallying, you know, and I'm not, you know, regulates to that. So
I
commend that if that's what they want to do.
I'm talking about people who organize for progress. And, you know, they do a whole lot of work. And, you know, they be there through that rain, through that sleep, through that, you know.
I've been on the front line with them, you know. I've been there, like I said.
Okay.
And my whole thing is more to just shouting jobs, you know. You got some of these people who make six-figure salaries, you know, who's chief executive that got these high-paying positions. At some point in time, we're going to have to start creating our own solutions. You know, that's my point, and that's the era that, you know, I'm down with. I want to connect with people like that, you know. I mean, like, we could sit here and scream and shout and play the tambourine all day, but, you know, at some point in time, like, you know, I came home from prison and started my own business with $50, and I got employees right now, you know. So, I mean, you know, and I started with $50. So I know what a person with a six-figure or five-figure salary could do if they create opportunities for their people. So You know, that's basically, I'm not discrediting none of them, because we do need to organize and educate the masses of our people. But at some point in time, we cannot be regulated to that. We can't be regulated to that.
And an example that they are setting, and, you know,
no, I support, you know, agitating. But my whole thing is that, you know, like, I offered them a solution. We got redevelopments that's taking place right now in the city of Newark that don't have local residents. Can I get my point through? Local residents that are without jobs. These developments, like, I offer the solution. Like, why are you sitting there rallying at the steps of a Lincoln Monument with your back towards a county executive who don't give a damn about black people? Go to these sites where these people are, you know, taking money out of our community, not hiring our people. Shut these damn sites down. We go body for body in these redevelopments, you know, and we stop people from work. We stop people to work. You can't be rallying on a corner. On no corner in front of a Lincoln Monument, you know, like.
Sir, hold up. You need to do, you know, people need to do it all. If that's what your
solution
is, then what you do, you organize people and do that. You know, because.
Well, that's my point, is to tell them that you have to intensify that.
Excuse me?
That's my point to them, is like, you know, You have all of these organizations.
Because they're doing what part it is that they're doing. If that's what your solution is, get people together.
The redevelopment is not at the steps of a monument. The redevelopment is taking place all over in that downtown area near the monument where they're protesting.
My whole thing is that you got people that's offering you
some kind of suggestions, because I'm on these sites, and I do need help. I'm a one woman show. Like, I'm the first female on a site that I've actually protested, you know, wrote, you know, and for my 7% that's allocated for women, just like the 40% that's allocated for local residents. This is a part of the law. This is federal law. Why go yell at a statue instead of going on these sites where these sites are supposed to hire 40% of the people? No, it's no offense to you. I mean, I salute
you.
My whole thing is that we need to bring the masses to
instead of arguing about what they're doing, and they're effective in what they're doing. I've been there. You know, they're not doing what I'm doing. And I'm not doing what you're doing. What I'm doing, I'm raising, you know, people conscious about what it is that I'm doing. If that is what what you want to do, raise those people conscious and, you know, get people to move in with you and what you're doing. Don't knock somebody else.
You folks
got to
honor people's suggestions.
They are effective, sister.
You're doing what you're doing.
Let me intervene for a moment here so we can go on to our next topic, because I think the point is that
nobody upholding these folks with they bull crap.
You know what
I think, the point that's being raised. Let me intervene for one moment, and we're going to end this segment.
I'm not here for this.
I think the point that is being said, Sister Manira, is that whatever it is you think they should do, you should go ahead and do it. I think that's the simplest point of
when she made that suggestion, I said that I made that suggestion to them, and being that they have, you know, the so-called people power, along with 150 signing on churches, whatever, but mosques,
right,
labor unions.
But that's not their role. That's not what they want to do. So what it is, what's being said is, then you, it's just like with me. When I see, when I believe something or I feel that this is what needs to be done, I don't wait for anybody to do that. Because I already know they either can't or won't. So what that means is you have to then go do it, okay? So we're going to close that segment out. And, Sister, thank you so much for your comments. Sister Pam, thank you for your comments. And if anyone else has a comment, please, or a question or something else you want to share, you can push one now. We'll take one more call. And, again, Manira, thank you.
But I just want to just, you know, still extend my my deep felt, you know, salutes to Sister Pam for doing a wonderful job and raising the bar, raising, intensifying struggle for our political prisoners. So I salute the work that you do wholeheartedly, you know.
All right. So. Thank you. Okay. So now, let's see if there's any other questions or comments. I don't see any right now. So we're going to fast forward for one moment and give you again the information for July 3rd. Pam, tell us again, location again, time the folks will be gathering on July 3rd.
Okay, July 3rd at Stiffen Market from the hours of 12 to 6 p.m. And, you know, there'll be organizers meeting and people who want to feed into other organizations and, you know, because our thing is fit in where you fit in and because everybody might not want to do political prisoners work. And
right.
But there is work that people can be doing and dealing, you know, going up against this system. And, you know, and that's what, you know what we're talking about. And, you know, everybody ain't going to do the same thing. And,
right.
But there's
right.
something for everybody to do. And we're feeding people, you know, into these different, you know, realms. People just got to come and be prepared and, you know, to, you know, be organized enough. And, because people just don't want to go join something where something ain't happening at.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
too much. You know, there's too many problems that's happening here, and for people to be playing games. And, you know, and a lot of the groups and stuff, Jericho, that deals with political prisoners, there's people that's dealing with prisons, you know, across the board. There's people that's dealing with the issue of senior citizens, like you that's dealing with Sister Marissa Alexander, right?
And the violence and abuse by women, period.
Right, you know.
Right.
What I'm saying is, you know, if that's what it is that you want to do, then we got a place for you. Your sisters,
right. Right.
You know, that might not, you know, it's just a lot of work that got to be done. And,
right.
you know, and.
So let's kind of just revisit something for a minute because something just came to my attention and I think we need to maybe elaborate on it just a little bit because when we talk about Attica, for example, we talk about it in a way because we're familiar with it, but as I'm looking at the boards, I'm realizing that we do have people who, for whatever reason, don't know anything about Attica. So for us to think that when we say we want to shut Attica down, there's some people out there going, Attica what? So let's kind of, if we can, take a few minutes to give a little bit of information, a little bit of history about Attica. Because believe it or not, just like many people.
Let's have a program on Attica, Sister Collette.
All right.
Yeah, because there's more than an Attica rebellion, you know, that's
okay.
happening there. It's about the conditions.
Right.
When, because most people know Attica, when the police, you know, came in and shot, murdered, stabbed, you know, a lot of inmates and who was raising, you was protesting about the conditions that was happening inside,
right.
you know, of
right.
Attica. Those conditions exist today, not only in Attica but throughout the United States. And so I think that we really need to have a program. You know, on that, and you know, why Attica? And also, you know, we want to bring the film, you know, here so that people can see it, you know, firsthand. So, you know,
right.
let's, you know, hook that up and you know, have people, you know, more engaged into
that, that'll work. Just
in,
remember, because I'm looking, we have folks that maybe are in their 20s, 30s, and that age group don't know, or many of them don't know anything about Attica. Before or now. Because, you know, and I realized that when I was talking with some students not too long ago, and I was talking about the MOVE bombing, they were 24, 25, thereabouts, and they said, and I said to them, yeah, the bombing in Philadelphia, the MOVE, and they said, huh? And I said, are you from Philly? And they said, yeah. But yet, at 24, 25 years old, they knew nothing about a bomb.
Exactly.
And I found that hard. I found that hard to believe, but that's what's going on.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people didn't know about, you know, Black Wall Street for years and years and years. The deliberate, you know, effort of this government in order to hide the terrorism, you know, that was heaped upon, you know, Black people. And it wasn't until Wilson Good and his administration dropped a bomb, you know, on MOVE, that people found out, because they were saying it's the first time it ever happened. And then all of a sudden they said, oh, no, it happened before. And you know, people were like, well, when? A lot of people did not know that this government dropped bombs on Black communities that was, you know, up and coming and had their own businesses and different things, you know, like that. And, we got a whole lot of educating to do. One of the things that Brother Kamal from International Concerned Family and Friends is doing and is showing movies throughout the community and, you know, on different, you know, issues. Attica, you know, is one of them. Attica's one, and of the bombing the MOVE, you know, on Mumia, and, you know, films on Sekou Odinga, and, you know, and how I get a lot of people interested in his case is because his son, and, you know, he was one of the people that helped, you know, raise Tupac. And, you know, and a lot of youth that's into Tupac, and I give them the book, you know, the FBI War on Tupac Shakur and Black Leadership. And when they get into reading about Tupac, then they find out about, you know, the plots of what happened with the Panthers, the plots of what happened, you know, with the BLA, why a BLA was, you know, was actually formed, and the real deal of what happened with Tupac and what happened with, you know, Biggie Smalls, and all that they were made by this government, and the real deal of what happened to Jimi Hendrix and his place in the revolutionary movement, and on how his death was a hit too. Fact. And all you know that you cannot get around, and all you know why you know a Weather Underground, and all you know why with this government, you know, because people like you know Tupac, you know, why would the government kill Tupac? And all you know, this is some of the things that you know we're educating people on. Why is this government going after you know hip hop artists and all that? Isn't calling women bitches and hoes and all, but explaining who a bitch and a hoe is and all, which is this government and all, you know, you know how it prostitutes life, you know, things like that, and all, you know, and, you know, really, you know, finding different ways of showing, you know, youth and all, you know how this government is coming at us, you know, coming at them and understand that, you know. It's, you know, it's historic, you know, what it is that they're doing. And, you know, they're not really doing anything different than what they was doing years ago, but they've, except they've been able to speed it up because they put people, a lot of people to sleep, and all through technology and all, you know, through TVs and all, you know, people aren't even tuned in. You don't even know what the hell your kids is even listening to anymore because they, you know, they got this stuff in you know, that's going into their head. And, you know, Mr. Shane, you know, I sat on the bus the other day, and I'm looking, and people was texting, people was reading their books, and, you know, people was bobbing their heads to the music, but no one was communicating with each other about these problems that's in our community. And, you know, people are tuned out, and, you know, And, you know, to the fact that we can't, you know, even when we present positions where we can come together and do work, and you know, because of the hate that this government has taught us to have for one another, when you're trying to organize and, you know, to move ahead, and you wind up in situations where, you know, it's, we got some work to do. We got some
work to do.
And, I'm getting ready to pull up right now, and because I have to get up really, really early in the morning to help Sister, Ferguson, out.
Yeah.
My intention was to be on about a half an hour, and but you know, it's always this is one of them places that you go to visit and talk, and because it's just a family station, and you know that you can't just pop on in and pop off. And and you know, this is not for the weak at heart. This is for the hardcore people, and
who want
to really, really do something, because ain't nobody gonna be pulling no punches, here, and because we got a lot of work to do, and and one thing, we got to learn how to do things, in a loving, caring way, to be firm, and about things, and to, go about our work and, do what it is that we got to do. And you can't worry about what somebody else is doing or not doing. And just lay your plan, get your work together, and just remember, nobody has the right to do wrong, and we must all, take on what it is that we can take on. Everybody got to do something. If you ain't doing no more, then Sister Pelé said, look, I'm having this radio show. Call 10 people and tell them.
Indeed. Well, Sister Pam, please give Sister Ferguson, Mother Ferguson, my regards. Tell her happy Earth Day. Much love, much respect. All right. Well, give her a big hug for me, please.
And Brother Herman Ferguson.
Yes, definitely Baba Ferguson as well. And let them know, fill them in, as best as you can about the upcoming International African Diasporic Human Rights Convention. If they're not able to make it, certainly, hopefully, Baba can write something, or we can even have this book there, something. We're looking forward to that. And my sister, I thank you always. Thank you much, much, much. And you go ahead on and get some rest. And I'll see you when you get back.
All right, now, on the move. Thank
you. All right. Thank you. Okay, family, let's see what we're going to do next here. We are going to, I think, take a quick break. And when we come back, what I think we're going to do is hear something from Mumia Abu-Jamal, one of his latest commentaries, okay? And we're going to tell you a little more, about the upcoming International African Diasporic Human Rights Convention, which is going to be taking place in Africa December 1st through the 9th. Now, at that convention, it is going to really highlight some very key things from an international, from a global standpoint, okay? And with that said, we're going to be focusing on Haiti. We're going to be focusing on, of course, while many people don't talk about Katrina anymore or talk about New Orleans anymore, there's still much to be said about that. Needless to say, we're going to be talking about and examining eugenics that has occurred here in the United States. I mentioned earlier, of course, we're going to be talking about COINTELPRO, but we're going to talk about the matters that are happening in the Sudan or in Sierra Leone or that has happened in Liberia when it comes to women being raped or the trafficking and the murdering. So it's not just the U.S. that we're talking about the human rights violations. Of course, we will be discussing that. We will be presenting cases. But we're going to look at it from a diasporic standpoint. And with that, have some think tanks, have some strategy sessions, but also examine closer what governments are doing, what they're not doing, and how, as a people,
we can make some of this stuff happen. We're committed, the Men and Women Movement is committed to helping our sisters nationwide and globally, and we began to put some of that into effect. And we're going to tell you more about that very, very shortly as well. So, again, I'm going to take a quick break, and when I come back, I'm going to give you more information about the upcoming Human Rights Convention, the International African Diasporic Human Rights Convention.
Reviewing very soon
some of the, you know, groups and so forth that we are going to include in this concert. We have a listing of folk who are nationally, or shall we say internationally known, as well as nationally known, but we also want to have some folk who may not be as well known. We'd like to give them the opportunity to be seen and heard also. So if there's a message, especially in the music, then there's a good possibility that you could be one of the performers. So next week's show, we're going to give you more information about how you can send your demo or what have you to us. And, you know, we'll give you that information again next week, because there will be a few groups selected from the U.S. who will be going. And all the genres can be represented or will be represented. So what that means is R&B, hip-hop, jazz, reggae, you name it. As long as it's black, as long as it's from us, about us, then certainly this is what we're talking about presenting. The show will be broadcast live via cable network television. The Benin government has agreed to accommodate all of what it is that we need to have happen. So this is huge, it's unique, and it sends a message that will vibrate all over the globe, because the focal point will be human rights, African human rights, justice, freedom, and peace. Okay, but, you know, always as we say, needless to say, there can be no peace without justice. We're going to take a few minutes, and we're going to hear one of Mumi Abu-Jamal's recent commentaries. We'd heard earlier about the situation regarding Sekou Odinga. Well, Mumi also had a few words that he penned in regards to Brother Sekou Odinga, and so we want to hear that right now.
Sekou Odinga, warrior, Black Panther, Black Liberation Soldier, named after African warrior and statesman Sekou Touré, the first president of an independent Guinea, and Odinga Odinga, the Kenyan freedom fighter for Mau Mau. Sekou Odinga, prisoner of the white empire. Sekou Odinga, happy birthday. We know what it means to have a birthday in a cage, but every birthday is a kind of victory. And congrats on your marriage. From Imprison Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
All right, that was a brief comment from Mumia. And again, we're going to maybe next week give you more insight or more information on Sekou Odinga. But I want to, I think, play one more from Mumi Abu-Jamal. He's done a couple, actually, that are pretty dynamic. Well, all of Mumia's stuff is dynamic, but there are a few that just, you know, really stand out sometimes. He did one on Egypt. Of course, there's been a recent election in Egypt, and we want to remind people that last year in March, the women, some of the women in Egypt, called for a million woman march. Only roughly 200 women showed up, but the mere fact that these women were courageous enough to call for a million woman march was really incredible. So needless to say, we will be inviting them to join us in Africa for the human rights segment in December. But again, it just shows how here we have women thousands and thousands of miles away who have some appreciation for what our sisters did here in the United States. Yet, for some strange reason, we can't seem to get our sisters to really stand up and do the kind of work that needs to occur in order for the next steps of the Million Woman March and its movement. Needless to say, it's going to happen anyway, but it's just ironic that here you have women from other countries who tend to seem to have a greater appreciation, if I may, for the work that we have done and are doing. They've been so inspired
that they took a chance with their lives, really, to call for a Million Women March, meaning for them, for the women to come together and to make their position heard. For these past 15 years, we've been putting calls out to sisters all over the country, and for whatever reason, if they don't get permission from whomever, it doesn't seem like they want to move. Well, that's going to change because this country is changing, and very soon it's going to be in such a state, in such a way of being, that it's going to force people to do what needs to be done. And so when that happens, we'll be here waiting, because it's going to take organized entities. It's going to take skilled activists, advocates, fighters to be able to deal with what the system is getting ready to throw down on us. And whether people want to get involved or not is not going to be the issue. It's going to be a fact that they're going to have to do something or they will perish. So we're patient, and it's all good, because we are now stabilizing as we are organizing and getting ready, because we know it's getting ready to go down, and some of you do too. But what some may not know is that it's going to be sooner than you think. So with that said, we're going to hear another commentary from Mumia. This one's called The Revolution Beyond Egypt.
The revolution betrayed Egypt, with Egyptians massed in Tahrir Square, denouncing the corrupt Western-backed regime of Hosni Mubarak. The West was faced with a quandary. How to retain Mubarakism without Mubarak? After many months of parliamentary wrangling and electoral hijinks, the answer is now becoming clear. The military, with the backing of the courts, have essentially annulled parliament, and by so doing, restored the status quo ante, the rule of the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces. And like that, presto changeo, Mubarakism without Mubarak. Hosni Mubarak was the chief servant of Western interests and used his power to repress Egypt's dissidents and opponents of his regime. The Tahrir Square rebellions made his continued rule untenable. But if anything, he was the figurehead fronting for the military, police, judicial, corporate complex, and as such, he was dispensable. So the early June hearings that sentenced the aging ex-ruler to life, that cleared his sons, and cleared many of his regime's police and military for their immense brutality and violence against the people, cleared the way for this judicial coup of the popularly elected parliament. The judicial class in every society is always the most conservative, for their job is to preserve the status quo with the illusion of legality. The Mubarak years may have been years of monstrous brutality and finality with Western support, but an entire infrastructure of repression benefited from the sent in from Washington and Bonn. That privileged layer of Egyptian society wanted their position back, hence the counter-revolution with the blessings of the Mubarak era courts. Now the real revolution begins, or its complete betrayal. From imprisoned nation, this is Mumia Abu Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Kent.
Okay, that again was Mumia Abu Jamal, and again, a very powerful, very poignant commentary in addressing the recent election in Egypt. Sounds like same old thing, but we know in reality, it usually is. I mean, there's not much that's really going to change given what's really going on in the world. And what's really going on in the world is attempted white global domination. That's what's really going on in the world. And either people are going to fight it or they're going to be a part of it, one thing or the other, one way or the other. So with that said, family, of course, we did an extra half an hour tonight. We kind of anticipated that we needed to do that, and so we were able to do it, but we have come down to our last few minutes for tonight. And I want to thank all of you again for tuning in, and please continue to spread the word that we are here every week, and we will continue to do so, and also bring some special editions very soon as well as we proceed in now organizing also for this year's Men and Women March 15-year anniversary. This year we're going to be presenting the Black Women's Social Justice, Self-Determination, and Solidarity Forum right here in Philly. We'll give you more information about that next week as well. And also we want to let you know that August the 31st through September the 2nd, I believe, we're holding our first session for the BBDCO. This is one of our new memberships, national. The BBDCO will consist of beauticians, braiders, barbers, and cosmetologists. And with that, we'll be introducing 10 or more products by Black folks, meaning Black folks who produce hair, skin, personal care products, natural. We'll be introducing them to our new membership, the BBBCO, and with that, begin to raise up the Men and Women Movement agents who will be the representatives of selling these products. This activity will commemorate the first convention that Madam C.J. Walker had here in Philadelphia in 1918. The first beauty culturalist convention was held by, again, Madam C.J. Walker, who, of course, again, I have to clarify, was not the inventor of the straightening comb. She created products. So learn your history, get it right. And so what we're going to do is follow or bring forward that history and that legacy, tap into that billion-dollar business that we're not getting much of, and begin to make it clear that we not only have the right, we have the ability, and with that, we are going to do that. And so we'll tell you more about that next week as well. So, family, as we opened our show up, we, of course, thank you. We give thanks and praises to our Creator. But we also remind you that we strive, of course, for power, prosperity, and peace. That is one of our formulas in bringing about true change, evolutionary change. But also, we strive for Ma'at and Hotep. And we leave you with that thought. We say to you, Ma'at Hotep. But we remind you that there can be no peace without justice. There can be no justice without peace. And so, again, we remind you, please tune in next week as we continue on with the struggle for both peace. Until then, Tutanana, and remember, Pomoja, Tutashinda, together we shall win. Thank you.